got my dice and I got my friends. We're going on a quiz that never ends. You know when there is trouble abound, me and my crew will always be around. Ladies and gentlemen, I am the Lone Gunman, and it's time for the Gamers Haven Podcast with your hosts, Ethan, Jeremy, and Nathan.
Hello, Shark, you've done been jumped.
There you go. See, and that's a great way to start things off because we're in episode 99, and I think it's time we jump the shark.
Shark.
We have sharks?
Well.
Why not?
Yeah. Come on, Jeremy.
Oh, we all seem to be in a pretty jovial mood tonight. At least
it's been a good day.
Yes, yes. Noah is not with us. He is off with his
bow,
his significant other, his bow, his woman.
Woman.
Now,
woman!
For those of you who don't know, a woman is someone who is of the opposite sex and female.
If you have an escape,
these things called boobs.
If you have an escape from your basement. Of your parental unit's
you know what?
Home.
You know, just go on and Google.
Just
go
look
Google
up porn.
Type in woman. There you go. That's what he is off seeing right now.
Not the porn.
Yeah.
No, not the porn. No. Make sure your adult filter's on. Or off, really, if you just want to discover crazy things.
Horrible, horrifying things.
You can do what Jeremy was doing in searching for the,
We were looking
rates.
For gigolo prices for Becca here.
Uh-huh.
Well, actually, we're looking for gigolo prices for a friend of ours.
Well, okay, yes. A friend of Becca's.
Uncool Aaron.
Actually, a friend of us.
Who you can follow at projectuncool.com.
Cool. Who's actually a really cool guy.
I mean, he's totally obviously willing to whore himself out right
he
now.
He is willing to whore himself out right now.
Yes, he wants himself a new MacBook, and they cost money.
They do.
And so, you know, he's willing to offer himself for a good deal of money.
He has two kidneys and two lungs, and you only need one of those.
Or at least a piece of one.
That's true.
Yeah.
With most of his liver.
With the technology today, you only need pieces.
Although he's a smoker, his lungs are shot. So really,
you don't need
gotta go with your kidneys, dude. You just need one kidney. Maybe if he's lucky, he'll wake up in a hotel bathroom, bathtub full of ice.
Oh, really God, they stole my kidney.
I mean, two legs, you could probably provide those.
Probably, yeah.
You only need
one
eye.
Well, they make those bionic legs They probably cost more than
we're helping him out here.
That's true.
We're selling his organs.
Oh, I know. Well,
and he'll never thank us.
I would say that, you know, Hugo Chavez probably needed something.
Well,
it's
too late for him.
You know they're going to do the whole Lenin thing, too?
Yes, yes. They're bringing him to state.
They're going to preserve his body. They're going to mummify
him. Put him in a glass coffin and put him on display.
Because he was such a great leader.
Is he still?
Yes.
After all these years.
After all these years, he's still preserved. And he's scary
still
looking.
Still an undead lich.
He lies in state. You can walk by his corpse.
I mean, they still.
In a glass coffin.
Yeah. Look it up.
Mr. Chavez. I'm thinking I need to write this into my will. That I want you just to put me, like, harvest all my organs and stuff me full of sawdust.
You know how expensive it is? They have
not going
to visit
be my problem. I'm dead.
You have to have
why should I care?
A country behind you. And they have to be willing to spend millions. They had to visit him every year.
I think everyone should do this and then put it in their will that they become a permanent fixture in whatever structure it is that they died in.
Well, that's
which
fair.
You know could be your house,
and actually,
or
you
could
have
be a McDonald's.
There was the guy that
well,
had
with our health, it would be a McDonald's.
There was the guy that had his wife like in the table.
Oh God!
And the pitcher had like the his buddy had his feet on the table, and then there was the beer can.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was totally respectful.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
It's been a...
when Nathan goes, you're just going to encase him in, like...
Carbonite.
Carbonite.
That's it. We need to be encased in carbonite.
Yeah.
It's like, I wish to be preserved in carbonite. What is this carbonite? Watch Star Wars, you fool. That'll be in the will. Watch Star Wars, you fool. And then I'll go, which one? It's like, all of them.
That's a silly question.
I guess they're trying to figure out people for the new one.
Well, yeah, apparently, supposedly, the rumor is that Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, and Mark Hamill have signed up to
reprise their roles. But I would guess it's going to be one of those next generation type of things where they're passing the torch or, you know, they're in it in some capacity. But, you know, after the Star Trek reboot, I'm behind J.J. Abrams, you know, so.
He does a good job. The only problem I have with him is he uses a frick of a lot of lens flare. Like, a frick of a lot of lens flare.
There's that lens flare where you could also just get over it. That's the only thing
I have a problem with. I look like I'm staring into the sun. What the hell?
Oh, yes. Bright and shiny. Oh, gosh. it's been a busy couple weeks. I'm looking for a place to live. Jeremy and Robin have found a place to live. You guys already have a place to live.
Yeah, so. We're all good.
Yeah, you guys are all good. Oh, except for me. Still looking. Hopefully by the time this one rolls around, or really we'll have that figured out. But, as a consequence of life in general, we haven't had a chance to sit down and record for a bit. But we are sitting down with the impetus of getting another episode out in another 3 weeks or so. Episode 100. So we'll talk about. We're gonna test all you listeners to make sure you stay through the 9.5-hour show we have for you, and at the end of which we'll tell you about what we're planning for episode 100, and we'll deal with it that way. As far as goodies and game stuff, I got my Shattered Timelines for Sentinels of the Multiverse, the new expansion for it that came in.
Awesome.
So I've got the new expansion for it. Haven't had a chance to play with it yet, but it looks up to snuff with their awesomitude at Greater Than Games. What have you guys been doing? Let me guess, Minecraft.
I haven't had as much Minecraft as I had hoped.
It's like crack for you, you know.
I love Minecraft.
Becca got Minecraft now as well.
Isn't it great?
You're into it. Okay, so it's like you guys are. Like this is like the equivalent of snorting cocaine. Minecraft. The back of the
Join
just,
us, Ethan. Join us.
You can build whatever you want.
It's a lioplurden, Ethan.
I have come to a realization that I'm just not a video game guy.
It's not a video game. Well, it's a way of life.
Well, for some people, yes.
So Jeremy has joined Scientology.
Minecraftology.
Uh-huh.
Well, no, we've been busy with getting the move together. Yeah. We did try, because we were talking about this earlier, a little bit of Minecraft, though. Haven't been able to get on the server very much.
How has the move been going?
It's slow. Yeah.
Slow. Okay.
Also tried Star Trek Online, which is both fun and confusing.
And aggravating at the same time.
Great.
It's amazing how they can
comes
throw so many
to
different
the
conventional
space battles.
That's what I hear is the space battles are really cool.
The way missions
that,
are
like,
okay because
why can't we just do the space battles all the time?
Everything else,
that was
especially for a new person. Well, I would want away missions, but for a new person, it's so confusing.
Yeah, there's not a lot of tutorials out there that
there's
we know.
There's no tutorials, and you can't find anything. It's like go here. I don't know where here is.
How do I get there?
So
look,
but it's free.
I did hate it when RPGs would do that. It's like go to this town.
Where the hell is this town? And it's Star Trek, which means I have a computer that can tell
town.
Me everything.
Where is that town?
Where am I? What continent am I on?
Look all over the in-game map, and you're like,
as Nathan was saying, Star Wars is going free at some point. So
actually, it's already free.
Oh, it's already free.
It's already free to play.
I'm gonna have to try that at some point just to test it.
Old Republic.
Yeah, Old Republic is free
to
play.
Just give it a try.
I think they're saying that most likely Old Republic is going to be one of the last pay to play ones that came out because everything's going free.
Everything's pretty much going free to play now.
I'm hoping WoW goes to free because
The rumors are is that if its subscription numbers continue dropping at the rate that they're dropping, it'll be free to play by the end of the year.
I just haven't been paying for it lately.
They have free to play up to level 15.
Level 20.
20?
But the problem is you can't do cooperative play. You can't join a lot.
That sucks.
And that's...
That's where they get you.
Okay.
That's where they get you.
Because we still really enjoy the game.
Douche nozzles.
But right now we just don't want to pay for it.
What a surprise. That seems like it's so out of character for them, being douche nozzles.
But for a new game, for new players, it's easy to get into. So, yeah,
that I will agree with. World of Warcraft is significantly easier to pick up and play,
yeah,
but, starting out.
But for tabletop games, just haven't had a lot of time to do anything.
It's been very busy.
We did
get a Wizards College game in.
Yes.
And that was about it.
Finally.
That was about it, really.
And I was so exhausted that day, I slept on the couch through almost the entire thing.
Yeah, then you jumped in the last about hour of it, and you were like, ready to go, man.
Yeah, because I was finally awake.
We did get two things.
And then Becca tapped out.
We did get...
She's like, I'm done.
I told Nick about Sentinels of the Multiverse, and he finally got to play it. He hadn't played it, actually.
No, I didn't know he hadn't played it.
Yeah, he hadn't played it. And also,
he must have been. Well, we know he doesn't live under a rock. How did he miss it?
He had it, but he just didn't get a chance to play. And he's like, "This is an awesome game."
I've got that.
And Ben and I went down to a tabletop after we moved some stuff up, and he bought Dominion, which he had been looking for.
I played Dominion. Dominion's all right, but
he likes the big games.
The thing. Have you seen Dominion?
Yeah.
Okay. The first thing that runs through my mind, and I don't know if they've improved this with new editions, but the way that the cards are in there, I just would look at it and go, man, if you drop this, you're screwed.
Well, yeah.
It's going to take you hours to fix this.
But I also introduced him to Sentinels Multiverse, so I need to get him into a game because I know he'd love it.
Oh, yeah, totally. And so looking at the new set, the new stuff that's in there is pretty darn sweet.
Yeah.
So
Tabletop has their dollar and $2 minis,
mm-hmm.
which we picked up a few of them.
Yeah,
they even have sets. They're $9 to $10 minis. Those are really neat. I don't know if they're old or just because they're German.
Crazy Germans.
I know, but
yeah, their minis are freaking.
They're really cool. But
was ist los?
We picked up a few of those.
We're all going.
And they're a little bit odd, but they're not bad. There's nothing bad about them.
No, they're traditional.
They're traditional
metal mold.
They're lead.
They're actual lead.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh boy,
they have
tasty.
Lead in them.
Don't eat them.
It tells you don't eat them.
Do not ingest this
do
miniature.
Not ingest
but like
these,
they're really,
or you are
they
an
were,
idiot.
They were totally out of like the actual machines and stuff. But it is a game. It's all in German.
Kriegsbein. What?
So, I obviously, but for like just.
So, really,
minis,
that means you can just make up the rules.
Exactly. Or just use them for minis in general. So, I was quite happy about that.
We don't need rules.
I think regularly.
We're Americans.
There's some other price, but he's selling them for $1-$2. So, I was like, that's pretty sweet.
I saw him the last time I was up there. Looked nice. I didn't have time to really sort through them. I think it was up there the last time we
he
were
did
there
a nice
you, so.
A nice change of things. Things got moved around, but it was a good.
I know he was trying to get that corner space too.
Yeah, he didn't get it.
Yeah.
But how we change things around, it still works. Just how we place things,
mm-hmm.
which for our listeners who don't know tabletop, this is not going to really matter. So
no,
yeah, we told.
But you should know tabletop.
You should know tabletop.
Especially if you're coming to CanCon, you should just make
just
a little trip out to check it out.
When you're in the area, you should make a side trip
or
to
take pictures of your own local gaming store and send them to us. That'd
yes,
be cool.
That'd be good too.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure you ask permission first.
Yes, don't just go in and randomly take pictures.
They might
Some people tend to have problems with that.
Yeah.
We
but
found out the hard way.
If you get permission and hey, maybe we'll put them on the site.
Maybe, yeah.
So.
The site went through a little. It was a while back now. The site did go through a little bit of a redesign. It's much brighter now, and I think flows and works a little bit better. I'm working on. Everyone will be happy to know all the podcast feeds are now fixed and on iTunes correctly now. So all of that
is
fixed. So that's good. But intermittent with that and sort of the CanCon thing and various other aspects of life, you know, that's pretty much been me for the last month.
Been following the 5e D&D Next playtest stuff. And the forums are still crazy.
Oh, I'm sure
people
they are.
People are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
even the calm people are crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Are they going off about the various different methods
you
of
can't
of
make
play?
Anybody happy.
No,
even the
can't.
Happy people you can't make happy.
Hey,
but,
well, no, you can't.
It's
what I've seen, what I've heard, I should say. I haven't really seen much. What I've heard, it seems like it would be fun to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it
looks
it
entertaining.
Harkens back to old stuff, but it also has new stuff. And it's
a problem
playtest.
I think they're running into though is they're trying to please a lot of people, and it's D&D fans. They're not going to please everyone, and it's going to be especially on their forums, it's going to be a free for all.
Yeah,
that's
a horror sideshow. There
is the forums are so focused.
Yeah.
Like, you've got really good people, but they're so focused, and they get focused on certain things. Like, the biggest issue, well, this isn't the biggest issue, but one of the things is conversations about hit points. What are hit points? You know, what is a hit point? And really, it boils down to something my wife said. Who cares?
Yeah.
It is a physical representation of how much physical abuse you can take.
But that's one definition. Whether it's physical, mental, whatever. It's a game.
Yeah.
So it's meaningless, really.
Yeah, the number means whatever you want it to mean, honestly.
That is an argument that goes on.
And on.
And I mean, there's other arguments going on the forums that you can follow. The Warlord, people, I mean, they have their classes and they really fight for their classes. And I understand their passion, and that's great. But sometimes it gets so mean, and it's just like, dudes.
It's the internet.
Dudettes, settle down. They're trying to make a game that is fun for everybody. And you're not going to make everybody happy. I understand that. But they could make a game that most people are happy with.
They can try.
Yeah.
I mean, all that matters
tried
is...
Tried and failed? No. Tried and died.
Well, yeah. Maybe if they try and die, you know. But really, there are just some people on there, it seems, that no matter what
you
they
say,
do...
No matter what they do, they're just going to be,
it doesn't matter.
Rage quit!
And I wish some of them would just rage quit.
Like, good, leave. Leave the sane
people
to have some good times.
That way, the actual... Because there's great ideas on there that get hidden between all of the...
All the flack.
The crazy. And all the just... Oh,
everybody having to run and duck for cover because of all the poop fleeing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which makes it sad because there are really great ideas that pop out on the forums. I'll see something, I'm like, that's really awesome. And I'll see something else, I'm like, boy, that's just really mean. It's not even you're not even trying to discuss something. You're just being mean. And yes, I know it's the interwebs, but people need to grow up. Like, just, and I know they won't. Oh, well. Anyway, I've been following that stuff. Try and keep an eye on it.
Cool. Well.
Yeah. I've been fiddling around with old computers, of course. And
what else is new?
Looking hardcore for work, but... I had a friend who, in response to remuneration for some computer work I did to him, he gave me a one of those key things from one of the video cards he had for the new Tomb Raider and the new BioShock Infinite. So when that comes out March 26, I guess I'll be reviewing it. I've been keeping up on some of the stuff on Kickstarter, and I'll actually talk about that when we get to the three-parter. Because there's actually some really interesting things going on there, and I'd like to follow up on my plea to people regarding the gas-powered games about what came out of that and what happened to gas-powered games so that, you know, just pretty much trying to survive. Oh, and they have a tournament for all my funky music video games I love to play in the arcade, and so I spent all day, because it was free play for $10, so I spent the whole day playing things like Dance Dance Revolution and being an absolute goober.
I was wondering about the X's.
Yeah. Yes, I'm going straight edge. I asked for two more so I could be hardcore, but they wouldn't give them to me. They looked at me and said, "You? No. We don't want to ruin Hardcore's image." But I had a good time, so I'm actually in a really good mood.
That's good.
Yeah, which is surprising for me, considering I've been pretty much down in the dumps and morose because I've now applied to over 310 jobs in the tri-state area, and I'm still not gainfully employed.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I keep getting comments like, "Well, you're a perfect fit for the job, but you live 60 miles away." Yeah, and? "Well, you know, that's an awful expense for the gas mileage." Like, my wife used to drive 74 miles a day back and forth to work for roughly the same amount. I think I can handle it. No, we're going to hire someone closer. Oh, well. It'll work out eventually, I hope.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're getting into the meat of it. Today on the show, we're gonna at least chat a little bit about realism and escapism in your game. So I think I'll just leave it at that, little tidbit of information. So we'll be back.
In a world where it's only available for download on GamersHavenPodcast.com. Gamers Haven Podcast presents Mutants and Masterminds 3rd Edition, Justice City United. Featuring the Gamers Haven regulars Eric, Jeremy, Robin, and Tracy. GM by Ethan. In a world of superpowered intrigue, can four heroes trust one another while trying to make a difference? An alien threat, a complacent government, and a sinister villain are only some of the obstacles these four need to overcome in order to be some of the world's greatest heroes. Will they be legends, or will they be forgotten? Only time can tell. Justice City United.
And we are back.
Back.
Yes.
So, before we start this conversation about escapism versus realism, why don't you describe or define to the listeners, not viewers, because let's face it, nobody wants to see my mug on a camera.
That's true.
Define to the viewers what you mean by...
We podcast with blindfolds because of you.
So. Yeah, what can I say? Well, be thankful that it's not direct sunlight because you guys wouldn't be able to see anyways.
That's true.
God, he just sparkles like in the light.
I'm just bright. Yeah, it's the soul. That's why I don't like the sun flares, is because people start screaming and grasping their eyes in the theaters because the light reflecting off my skin blinds everybody. No, define what escapism versus realism means in this context.
Sort of what I was going for in suggesting this was in every game that you play, in every game that you run, there is obviously a different level of realism, and there's obviously a level of escapism in your game. Some people really has... I sort of look at the two as sort of on a sliding scale. The more escapist it is, the less realistic it can be. To the extent of, say, you know, like when I run a feng shui game, I mean, that's escapism, like, almost
to the T,
you know. But then you have people who want to run very realistic style games, and really there are different games that sort of lend themselves well to it. What I'm talking about would be, you know, like, very realistic, harsh combat system versus a very cinematic and cheeseball combat system type of thing. And getting away from that, just thematically, the type of game. I mean, in your game, how much of an escapism do you want? Do you want it to be more escapism like, say, Star Wars? Or do you want it to be a bit more edgy or realistic like a David Fincher movie, you know? I mean, do you want to be Star Wars or Seven? You know, that sort of thing.
Well, in my case, it actually boils down to what system,
sure,
or what setting we're playing.
The different systems lend themselves to it.
I mean, with Call of Cthulhu, there is a certain... it does lend itself certainly to a level of realism, although the system itself is escapist in the fact that there's these horrible, unseen eldritch horrors.
Fundamentally, all the games you're playing have an escapist quality.
Yeah.
But it's a different level of escapism and realism that are in those games that you're running.
The game system itself does lend itself towards a more realistic setting. I mean, mm-hmm. there's all various sorts of things and additional stuff you can find online about what happens to the body if it gets shot and shock and various things like that.
Well,
I mean, I've never implemented any of it.
Different games will scale that stuff up or scale that stuff back, you know?
Because,
and really, combat is the easiest thing to sort of point at. In that, really, in any game, generally, you're going to have combat. So you have the game, it runs pretty much in sort of a real-time type of mode until you get to combat, in which you have, you know, certain rounds. And you know, look, when you start breaking things down, going, well, you know, yes, in Mutants and Masterminds, a round is 6 seconds, but, okay, and this combat round took 10 rounds. That took us 2.5 hours to play. But only, like,
1 minute
in-game goes by. And that's really kind of a hard concept to get around.
See, I don't usually really think too much about
that. I think if you're breaking it down that much, you sort of lose it. I think the best way I would, especially in a comic book style thing, would be like, okay, each one of your actions or each turn you have is a panel, you know, and then you move on from there.
Yeah. Like I was saying, certain systems really do lend themselves much more mm-hmm. to realism than others. I mean, look at that Blue Planet one. Holy cow. I mean, they had the weather patterns mapped mm-hmm. out for the planet's systems.
They built the whole world and figured out what the weather systems would do on it. I mean,
And the tidal systems. I mean, they had the tidal systems mapped out. I mean, mm-hmm. that just lends itself to a level of realism the rest of us don't know.
Really, I mean, the biology of what would evolve on that planet and that sort of thing. And
they actually, if I remember correctly, they actually had a person who actually... Yeah, one of the creators of the game
was a xenobiologist, and it was great game, mind you. But I mean, I've said it before; it was like reading a biology textbook at points,
which wouldn't faze me at all because I enjoy reading those things because I'm a freak like that. But
I know what we should get you is a copy of Blue Planet.
I already have a copy.
It's a good game.
You gave me a copy
many years ago.
Yeah,
then
you were getting rid of a bunch of books. You're like, I got a couple copies of this. Do you want one? I'm like. Okay.
Shiny.
The only issues I would see with those type of games is when you attempt certain heroic deeds.
And you fail miserably.
Mm-hmm. And you fail miserably based on the physics.
Well, definitely a level of heroism goes into what you want to do. I mean, because there's being heroic in Dungeons and Dragons or Feng Shui as opposed to being heroic in Shadowrun. Or
Call of Cthulhu.
Or Call of Cthulhu, which, you know, being heroic might or will likely get you killed. You know?
There is no might. It's will likely get you killed. Mm-hmm. Usually when you do heroic things in Call of Cthulhu, it's because it's a last-ditch effort and you've got nothing else left to go, so you're banking on taking yourself out in the monster with a big, huge bag of TNT.
It was a big sticking point on Chosen. We playtested Chosen, and it was a sticking point with me and Aaron Rosenberg, the author. Is great friends and whatnot, but I argued with him numerous times about the combat system he had because it was a really harsh thing, and I kept arguing with him. It's like, dude, you have this, you have the characters who have these abilities to do cool things, but, and, you know, knowing gamers, they're going to want to get into a fight and show how cool they are, but if they get into a fight in this game, they will probably be maimed or die, and that's not fun. But yeah,
at that point, if the physics are too real,
mm-hmm.
there are
heavy ramifications for trying certain things.
Too much realism can really distract from what you are trying to do.
Not necessarily.
Well, I'm not saying always. I'm saying it can. If you enter a combat and you know that no matter what, one bullet is going to kill you. That might make you cautious, but mm-hmm. it may also be like...
saps the fun out of the game.
It's like, okay, well, hey, this is totally like real life. I'm playing a normal person.
I'm going to die.
Which may be what you're trying to play.
Well, let's face facts. Honestly, in a role-playing game, you're going to play someone who is not an average person. You don't want mm-hmm. to play an average person because, let's face it, most of the situations our characters get into, if we were there, we'd be beating tracks the exact opposite direction as fast as our feet would carry us.
Some people...
It's like, oh, what's that? Some eldritch horror that wants to eat my face? Bye, guys. I'm out. See you later. Good luck.
And some people...
I don't
people...
have to run fastest. I just have to run faster than everybody else.
Some mm-hmm. people do want to play just
like
the
that
normal
shirt.
Person.
I love you like a brother, but if we're getting chased by zombies, I'm tripping you.
It's like in Dungeon Crawl Classics. They start you out as a normal person.
Which is why you need a dozen character sheets.
But most of them are gonna die.
Yeah.
And the thing is, though, you do level up.
Well, and I think part of it is as a player, you're coming into a game. And we're so inundated with the media in that we're, at least the way I look at it, is... you feel like it's I'm coming into this story and it's like a TV series or it's like a movie and my guy is one of the main characters. Well, everywhere in the media, you're looking around and you're looking at movies, you're looking at TV shows, you're looking at comic books. The main character is a special guy. I mean, he's better than everyone else, even if he doesn't know it.
Right.
You know, it's just the fact that he's a named guy in this universe. He's better than everyone else. And you have that mentality as a player, you'll come in and go, and even as a GM, you have to deal with it as a with the players.
Yeah,
they come in, they go like, "Well, I'm this dude. I want to do heroic things. I want to do cool stuff. You know, really, it boils down to that players want to do cool stuff.
Yeah, they don't just want to.
And my personal thing is, if you dump on the realism far too much, I mean, there's a level you have there, but there's no one wants to go in. I'm sorry. There are players out there that probably want to do this. There are GMs out there that want to do this. But I just, there's a reason that there's not a Dexter RPG.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's a reason that there's not an RPG out there that is meticulous about, you know, police forensics and things like that. Because, all right, well, now you have to sit around a microscope for 4 hours.
Yeah,
roll this check. And that's why a lot of times in games, that stuff is really glossed over. So you have the skills, but you make the check, you roll the die, and that's you.
Right.
For 8 hours, you're doing research in the library. Done. All right, 8 hours is by now. You found this information. Let's move on.
Yeah.
It's because these TV shows, these movies, don't sit there and focus on that. They focus on the action.
Well, they don't, because they know for a fact that if they did focus on that information, people would change the channel.
Beyond words, yeah.
People don't want to know how it's actually done. It's like you watched like Bones. Bones is one of those dramas that everybody loves to watch. And the thing is, it's based on a real person. Her name is Kathy Reichs. But as she pointed out, the show is greatly dramatized.
The show is entertainment. The show is a primetime drama.
They
and
actually,
that's what it's supposed to
they,
be.
They
know?
Did a they did an episode specifically about the Bones books becoming a movie, and they basically made a farce of how Bones is dramatized from actual reality.
Yeah.
As she says, nobody wants to see me sitting looking over a skull for 12 hours trying to identify various microfractures in it to see what actually killed the person. Nobody wants to see that. They want to see me go, look, I found this crack. It's obviously what killed the person. 30 seconds. Done.
Yeah.
People do various different things to escape. And they deal enough with realism and day-to-day life that for the most part they don't want to see it, but they do expect a level of of realism in certain things, because they expect if they do something a specific way they expect it will react a specific way, because in reality that's how it works. Like if you go and you jump out of an airplane, if you don't have a parachute, they expect you die, because that's how it works. They expect if you crash
jump into
a car,
lava, you die.
Yeah. If you crash
that's
a car
written, that's in a book, you jump into lava,
you
die.
If you crash your car at 60 miles an hour, more than likely you're not walking away from
it.
Yeah, it's going to suck. They expect that sort of stuff. They expect it, but the thing is they expect it to happen. But the thing is they want to be able to do the cool stuff. So they want to be able to defy physics from time to time. And you can't blame them, because
though it's the physics of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the physics of the real world. It's the physics of the game world.
Yes.
So you have to be consistent within the game world.
And the setting, yeah. You have to be consistent in the setting, which can be extremely tough. I will be the first to say it. There have been times when I've someone's asked if they could do something. It's like, yeah, sure. And then, you know, later someone tries to do something like, no, that wouldn't work that way. And they're like, well, you let them do this. And I have to go, oh, yep, you're right. I guess we'll have to let you try this, because I can't be biased against someone like that. And when they can point out that I let someone else do something that shouldn't theoretically have been done, then it's kind of rude to tell the other person, no, you can't do that, because I'm a mean person.
Well, you could.
Well, I am.
So how is that different from all the games you run?
What you could also do is say,
I try to be
right,
fair,
I will
but,
let it,
you know, I really
try.
Don't care.
You could also say, I'll let it go this particular session,
session. I'm good at apathy.
We will not do it. Because
right. Well, you know, and it goes into, especially if you're making up a new campaign and say you're doing World of Darkness, you really need to be clear on what type of a game you're running and the level of escapism, the level of realism you want to have in that. And you know, I played a mage game, and the GM was very upfront with us, saying, "Okay, there's going to be some grit in this game, and I mean, we're going to deal with some tough subject matter here and there." And really, it goes into, you know, when you're a young role player, when you're young getting into this, you generally are doing the kick down the door, kill all the monsters type of thing. But as you progress, mature, new games are sort of opened up for you.
You want to talk to the people before you kill them all.
Then kill them and take their stuff.
But then there's, you know, then you progress on and you know, it's like,
you want to find the motivation behind why they're doing what they're doing and stuff like that.
As a GM, I've never been very comfortable, because I'm very focused on escapism in these games, because that's what they are. I mean, they're a way to get away from all this
unwind.
This, their way to unwind, their way to relax, their way to get away from, you know, the crap of the world that you don't want to deal with for 4 hours while you're playing this game. And I don't want to sit there and you know, think about the, you know, all the paperwork I have to deal with at work or anything like that. I want to sit there and think about, well, you know, this character I'm playing, I have to summon up some monsters. What monsters am I summoning? You know, it's like, oh, what's the answer to this riddle? What's going on in with this cabal over here that's doing things? It's that interactive storytelling. It's that escapism that just, I think, really drives gaming in general. That I think needs to beat out that realism. But the realism is an ingredient in there.
Yeah, I mean. You can have it any way. I mean, like, my brother and I used to play Birthright all the time. There's a lot of paperwork. I mean, but
paperwork can be fun, though.
Yeah,
like in Wizards College, you know, usually in a D&D game, especially depending on what character you're playing, you do your action, and then between that action and your next run through on the next time around in the initiative, you don't have anything to do. You're hanging out, seeing what everyone else does. In Wizards College, I do my action, and then I immediately start figuring out what I'm going to be doing next turn, because I know it's going to take me that long to figure out what I'm summoning and what I'm going to have them do.
But we were running kingdoms.
But it's fun.
But we were running the kingdom. So, I mean, that's what we were doing. But we
it
was still escapism. There wasn't the, okay, yeah, we were figuring out our taxes for the kingdom. But we weren't sitting down going, okay, well...
Yeah, but at some primal level, that's just cool.
It was vast quantities
nerds
of
will
gold.
Nerds look at that, you know, outsiders, quote-unquote outsiders, look at that and go, I don't get it, man. I'm going to go play sports or do my sports.
But we weren't looking at...
But then other nerds go, we understand.
Right. We were figuring out how much money our kingdoms
like,
were bringing in.
That,
how much stuff
pretty
we
hardcore,
could
man.
You know, things
like
that.
So how much did your kingdom bring in?
God, it was a lot.
You know?
Yeah.
Just...
Because when you sit there and you figure it out, go, wait, I can make extra money doing that.
Exactly.
Sweet. For some reason, it's fun to sit there and go, my kingdom has 400,000 gold pieces.
Instead of saying, well, my guy's going to have to go down and talk to such and such and do this and do... No! We just hand-waved all that and said, I can roll this dice... I make this much money, I march over here, I kill that guy, I do this, and this. I stab him in the face. Oh yeah, we're going to do this adventure over here. Okay, fine, let's do an adventure. You know, but the things that kind of get annoying is when you've got to have that mix between, like, okay, realism, where it's like, yeah, I am the super powerful character. It's weird, because actually you can have some realism where it's fun, where you can be like, okay, I'm the super powerful character, but I've got to go pick up dinner. That's a minuscule role-playing aspect.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a few seconds or a minute or so.
Except if you have something bad happen,
or something
when they
bad
go to pick up dinner, like they go to pick up dinner and the restaurant gets invaded by terrorists.
Shunted
who want
into
to,
the future,
possibly, or maybe not. Maybe they just have a funny encounter with an NPC
that ruins their life forever.
I mean, it doesn't have to be this major thing. It's the realism of I have to do something mundane. But it's not mundane. It's not going to change necessarily the whole game as in a plot, but it's just something that's a little bit normal, but it's fun. It's got a twist on it. I have to do this, but something's going to happen. Yeah, most things are hand-waved, but every once in a while, I got to go pick up my horse. Well, in the meantime, this is what happens. That's different. That's a different type of realism. It's not like some games where, what's that game where you had to roll for everything? I never actually played it, but you told me about the game where you basically...
Oh, Gate War.
We made fun of it.
Gate War.
Yeah. Gate War.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where we made fun of it and basically you almost had to roll to eat and sleep. And,
you'll probably hear more about that in the next episode, but more on that later.
Gate War. Oh, God.
Because I personally like skills. I like using skills. most of the time. But I do like hand-waving away, like, the details to a point. Unless there is something interesting going on.
Sure.
Like, okay.
Well, and as a GM, it depends on how detailed you want to get.
Right.
So if you want to sit there and figure out how these pieces of this puzzle get together.
But also...
And if that's what you're into, go for it. But then there's some of us that are just like,
right,
you just figure it that out and moving on.
It depends on the player, too.
Yeah.
So you got to balance it. You got to be like, okay, so this player wants to build this. Okay, well, let them build that. Fine. But then you got to kind of go back and forth. It's like, where's that? But is that realism or is that still escapism? That's still escapism because that person might be really awesome. They might think, okay, I want to build this.
Mm-hmm.
Building that is my awesome thing. Okay, well, we need to travel from point A to point B. I don't care about that. That point A to point B is, okay, well, okay, we got into a fight. Hey, that point A to point... I've got my item. That's their escapism.
I got my stuff.
But that traveling back and forth, that's mundane. That's that's like traveling through... It's just a different thing.
It's just like some people are really into the random encounters and some people aren't.
Some people aren't.
It's just like, I don't want to sit here and have to waste... And that's what the term they use. Waste time in game dealing with random goblins that I run into at the roadside. You know?
You gotta
like this has nothing to do with the game, the story, and I don't care.
Right, it's kind of like well, and if they're overused, they just get, you know.
Yeah, which is why I think it's been interesting in iterations of D&D, especially how that has become less and less of an emphasis.
But then you talk to some people and they're like, "Where's the random encounters?"
Yeah,
I mean something actually that grew out of that is even if you don't use the random encounters, it's just random encounter charts.
Yeah.
That's what I think a lot of people miss. It's not the random encounters, even though they say that. It's the random encounter charts.
Mm-hmm.
They could care less, because if they really think about it, they're like, I don't want to run into another freaking band of trolls. We already killed the trolls. It was down the road, and another group showed up because you rolled them. No, what they want is the freaking... All they want is the charts. Yep. There's something inside their mind...
If you want charts, go play Rollmaster.
But they just want to feel the charts. They want those charts. They want to take them to bed. And...
They have to roll with them naked like rose petals.
But
oh, wait, sorry.
I know for myself, I do not want to, unless the realism in the game is building up to something, then I'm okay. Then I'm perfectly okay. Like, you're a normal person. You're going to work. And I'm okay with that. You know, good example is Nightbane. Game Nightbane.
Mm-hmm.
Start out normal.
Palladium. Nightbane.
Which was one of the only good Palladium games.
Sure. You know, you're bound to put out a good one if you're putting out a bunch of crap.
So. Right, exactly.
Yeah, you know, if you throw enough crap against the wall, some of it's got
to
stick.
The best way to do Nightbane, start out normal.
Mm-hmm.
And just start it as, all right.
Everybody's just an average,
you're
ordinary
an average Joe. You're going doing your boring stuff. And the player's just kind of like, okay, you know, fine. And you do your normal stuff, and then suddenly the Nightbane crap just hits. And there's just something about it. You suddenly go from, but again, you're going from average Joe to awesome instead of average Joe to average Joe to average Joe to average Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Or there has to be a mystery behind it. Like, why am I suddenly the average Joe? I know there's something wrong.
Yeah. And, you know, Nathan, you mentioned in Call of Cthulhu, but even in Call of Cthulhu, I mean, the player characters themselves are generally, or not even generally, they are. They're above average.
They're still
It depends on how well you roll. Let's face it, sometimes we've made some characters that are dumber than a post.
That is true, but on the average, running
they are, they're intellectual people, yeah.
Intellectual they're superior characters to the mundane yokels out
there.
You know,
normal, like your normal NPC. Yeah.
Well, that being said, if you actually look at some of the stats for the general NPCs and some of the Call of Cthulhu adventures, just the general NPCs, the average character is right on par with what they would classify as a non-player character. We're not even talking, you know, special, specific NPCs. We're just talking generic, like cultists and stuff. I mean, the average in that game, I mean, the average you roll for most of your stats is a 9. With 3d6, because you're not supposed to reroll anything. So the average is 9, and the average cultist has 11s across the board,
but
if
that's,
not more.
That's,
so that's higher than the average for the players.
But that's a cultist. We're talking about just
Joe Schmo off the street.
There is a character in one of the games named Abigail, not Abigail, it's Tab something the farmer. And a farmer, right? Mm-hmm. You expect them to be strong because they work out in the fields all day. No big deal. But they have an intelligence of like 16, which is twice as high as what the average is for most players, because that one's 2d6 plus something.
Yeah.
So, the odds of actually getting that high of a score, averaging a 10, I mean, that's not exactly easy. You'll average a 12.
To me, that's fine, though, because in the population, you're going to have random people.
Oh, yeah. You're going to have... That's the way genetics work.
If you pull a random person, the PCs should still be...
Above average. They should.
If not, really, that PC should probably re-roll.
Yeah.
Because at that point, they're not going to be that fun. Now, I'm not saying all stats.
One of the best characters I've ever played was had very, very low stats. He was average or sub-average in every stat, and it made it incredibly fun to play because I had to, aside from thinking, normally, which is not that hard for me because I'm average in intelligence, but he was great to play because I had to think outside the box as myself as to how will this guy who can't take on this guy that's picking on him is, going to pound him into the dirt if he takes this fight on head on. How do I trick this guy into doing what I need him to do so that I can get by? That's one of the things that I loved about a lot of the old adventure games was that when you played the ordinary average guy, you had to think of how to get past situations because you couldn't just, like, if you're above average, it's like, I have an 18 intelligence. I'll just beat this guy into the dust.
But see, the thing is with...
It's the whole having to think.
Yeah, thinking is... And that's perfectly fine. Thinking is great. And that's awesome. But there's still this point where when you're rolling up a character, if you just make the average guy... I'm not talking about... I would rather have a character that has some highs and some lows... Mm-hmm. Than the average
straight
Joe.
Across the board. Yeah.
I hate the average Joe.
I enjoy running an average Joe when I roll that way. What I really enjoy though is when you have that character that has like one really massively good stat. He's got one thing that he's good at, and then everything else he's either meh or oh my god, how did this guy manage to live this long with this stat like this?
Mm-hmm.
It's like I don't remember what it was. It was one of the games I was playing in, and we had to roll straight down the board. Like, what you rolled at that time went to that stat. And I ended up with, like, an intelligence of 9 and a charisma of, like, 4. I mean, it was the worst roll I've ever rolled. And I was like, how did this guy survive? Nobody even wants to interface with this guy. He's so ugly his mom couldn't put a bag on his head to get him to play with a dog. I mean, that's how bad he is. And he wouldn't even know how to play with the dog. I mean, a 9 is subpar.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like... So I played this guy that was basically an idiot. So every time someone, would come up with a problem, it was like, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, why is that a problem? And I was like, they're trying to kill us. Is that bad? And he was just a complete and utter tard. There was no other way to call him. And it was great because it was just like, and I can just... do whatever I want because this guy really doesn't think of the consequences. He doesn't have, he's mm-hmm. his wisdom is okay. I mean, he's smart enough to realize that might be bad, but he doesn't have the intelligence to think it through. So he's just like, okay, well, they say we need to go through that door. Okay, well, I'll bust down the door. Not thinking, it's an iron door. What's going to happen when you put your shoulder under that? Hi. Door didn't open. He just didn't think things through. So it was great because you could be impulsive
mm-hmm.
and do all sorts of crazy, stupid stuff that us as real people would go, no.
Yeah.
Not doing that.
Yeah. I think what it boils down to for me is these games are supposed to be escapism. And
your goal is to get away from what you deal with.
Yeah, and if we were going for ultra-realism in a game, you'd pretty much be playing yourself and it'd be the, McDonald's day job, the role-playing game, and I just don't... there's a reason that those games aren't
don't,
there.
Don't, well,
there's a reason these games I'm, are these I'm sure games exist in that, you have Cyberpunk, you have the Doctor Who RPG, you have Dungeons and Dragons, you got Feng Shui, you got Star Wars, you got all this great stuff out there.
Yeah, your mentioning of Cyberpunk reminds me that CD Projekt is making a Cyberpunk computer RPG.
Mm-hmm. Now that we've lost Nathan. All right.
No, I'm not lost. I'm still here. It's just they have a trailer up, mm-hmm. and I'm sure Ethan can throw a link in the show notes, it's a YouTube video for the cool video, because it's really, really well done. I showed it to Jeremy. It's got a cool song, and it's definitely got that feeling of cyberpunk, and it looks cool. I'm also, you know, super stoked because Shadowrun Returns is coming out soon, and yeah, it's Shadowrun, made by Jordan Weissman, the guy who created the system. So that's really awesome to me.
So, yeah, I was supposed to meet him once.
I met him at CantCon 1 year, I think. Mm-hmm. He signed my Shadowrun like second edition book. So that would have been like 96, 95, mm-hmm. 96. It was before even third edition had come out yet. FASA was still alive.
We might hear more
about
that in the next episode.
Maybe.
Slightly.
I could talk about when I met Gary Gygax.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I think that's a sort of good, throw stuff against the wall discussion. So we'll be back after this. Hey there, everyone. We're doing our three-parter today, and of course Noah's not with us, so it's a real three-parter and not one of those fake ones that we've been doing. Nathan's going to be talking a bit about a Kickstarter that he spotted about, for those of us, those of you who listen to the show know we've talked a bit here and there about a game called Torment. Planescape Torment. So we've got some talking about that to do. Jeremy's going to be talking a bit about... The world in general, and the mortal enemy of the United States.
I guess.
Clash of the Titans, really. Just, Dennis Rodman. And I'm going to be talking about a book that has lots and lots of profanity in it. So without further ado,
okay.
We're going to be jumping into, we're going to talk here a bit about Torment here. What we're into.
All right. Well, as many of you guys know, I'm an avid computer role-playing game player, and I've been playing computer RPGs for a long time. And, one of the herald classics that, whereas I liked it, I was not fantastic at it, and I've actually talked about my foray of trying to get back into it and being killed nonstop. Planescape Torment is heralded as one of the best story-driven computer role-playing games ever created. It was created by Black Isle Studios, and mm-hmm. it was published by Interplay back when Interplay had the Dungeons and Dragons license. It's a fantastic game, very, very unique in the way the game worked.
Yeah, it was put out by Black Isle Studios from Interplay.
Yeah,
and Interplay put it out.
And the game
came out in 1999.
Yes, it was. Yes, it did. The game was heavily, heavily loved. And people criticized Interplay greatly for not releasing a sequel. And I think that's because people didn't realize that Interplay went bankrupt in, like, 2001, so there was kind of nothing they could do.
And the game had an ending.
Yes, it did. Brian Fargo...
that doesn't stop them.
Brian Fargo, who was the owner of Interplay, if I remember correctly, has always wanted to do a follow-up. Now, InXile has put up a new Kickstarter. They are working with the one, the only Monty Cook, as well as a massive chunk of the team that originally worked on Planescape Torment, and they are making a new Torment game. Now, it's not a sequel to Planescape Torment. It is a Torment game. Apparently, what they want to do is that Torment is a specific style of CRPG, is what I'm assuming from what I've seen so far. The actual full name is Torment: Tides of Numenera. Now, the premise seems really cool. You don't have to back it if you don't want. If you want to buy it when it comes out, that's fine, because the game, they needed $900,000, and they reached their Kickstarter goal in like 6 hours.
Yeah.
They've got 27 days to go, and they're already at $2.2 million.
Yes.
So obviously this is something that people want. Now, the cool thing is Monty Cook is working on it. A gentleman by the name of Collins, who actually wrote most of the script for the original Planescape Torment, is doing the script for this. It's currently being heavily endorsed by Fergus Urquhart from Obsidian Entertainment, Chris Avalone, who was one of the lead designers on Planescape Torment,
And Scruff the Nerf Herder, apparently a fan and commenter, says this is better news than the PS4, which, those of you who watch the PS4, that's not too hard to do. The announcement was kind of meh. What's interesting is oh, my computer just went crazy. Okay. But the interesting thing is it is an isometric role-playing game. So in other words, it's 2D. It's not 3D. Mm-hmm. So they're, well, it might use a 3D engine, but it's done in a 2D format, like the old engines from the Baldur's Gates and stuff. From what I understand, the engine they're using is the Infinity Engine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that's the same engine they're using.
It's the same engine from the original. Yeah.
Well, the Infinity Engine was... let's see here. Here's some of the specifics about it. Torment is a single-player isometric role-playing game. It's a story-driven game. It uses the Unity engine for PC, Mac, and Linux. So the Unity engine is an actual programming engine, I believe, which means it will be in 3D, but it will be done in an isometric 2D style. So slightly 3/4 overhead perspective like the old ones, which is great. They've got pictures up of the artwork. It looks incredible. The artwork they've got up is creepy and good, which is great. It's based on Monte Cook's new Numenera role-playing game system, or world, from what I understand. And so that sounds really cool. And, we've met Monte Cook on a couple of occasions, and he is just a cool, cool guy. Met him at Gen Con two or three times. When we got the Tolus book, we chatted with him for probably 30 minutes, and then you did the interview with him.
Mm-hmm.
So... it's backed by a lot of big people, and Brian Fargo, who runs InXile Studios now, is promoting it. Now, I know there's a lot of questions from a lot of people because currently InXile Studios is working on Wasteland 2. Well, the reason why they're trying to start a new project is because the actual development team, the pre-production team, basically, if you want to put it in movie terms, is done with their part. Now it is on to the production point, which means that all the pre-scripting, everything's ready to go. Now they're actually making Wasteland 2, and they actually show, if you watch the video for Torment, they show you alpha video of Wasteland 2,
mm-hmm.
and it looks fantastic. It's like Fallout with a party. It's so good. It makes me super excited. if that's the kind of engine they're going to be using in this, I mean, it's going to be interesting. And the world, if I remember correctly, the Numenera stuff is supposed to be fantastic. I have not had a chance to see it. I don't even know if it's out yet. But the general consensus is that Monte Cook hit the ball out of the park again. I think it's still on the
Kickstarter stage.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
The general consensus is that it's fantastic. That's all I know. It's like Monte Cook did it again. Big surprise. I mean, his track record is pretty good, aside from a couple things, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything that I've read that he's done, I've liked, so... But then again, I haven't read that one book. What was it, Ghostwalk?
Ghostwalk. Yeah. Ghostwalk was half good and half just bleh.
Yeah, but... So, Monte Cook has a pretty good track record.
Yeah.
It's based on something that he created, the world, so... I have a feeling it'll probably be fairly decent. One of the really neat things is on the various different pledges. For $20, you know, you get the digital download copy of it. But if you spend, I think it's $40? $45. If you spend $45, you get both Torment and Wasteland 2.
Mm-hmm.
Which made me, you know, go, ooh. Because by the time I realized that the Wasteland 2 Kickstarter was going, it was over. There was no getting into it anymore.
Right.
So I kind of missed out on it. But in this way, and interestingly enough, this is the cheapest I've seen out of the Kickstarters I've seen. You can get a boxed copy, not a collector's edition boxed copy, but a boxed copy
mm-hmm.
for $65, which is the cheapest I've seen because most boxed copies and most Kickstarters have been $100 or more on average. I think Wastelands 2 was around the same amount, but I don't remember because I haven't looked at it recently. But a box copy for $65 is pretty cool, and that includes a printed manual, as well as the printed manual and the game on DVD, as well as a digital copy and a digital manual of the game as well, which is not bad. So it looks exciting. It is another game from InXile Studios, and with a premise that everybody knows and loves, but in a new world. And they talk a lot about the actual idea for the story. which seems really, really cool. I know I didn't talk much about it, but basically there's this entity that is afraid of dying. So what it does is it creates these husks that it inhabits with its mind. And as the husks deteriorate, it then casts them off and throws them to the world. It has something to do with the Numenera world. And what happens is the character you play in the game, as he casts the husk away, you gain consciousness and became basically sentient. So in that respect, it sounds like it's got a really good premise. But yeah, definitely check it out. It's called Torment: Tides of Numenera, Numenera. Sorry. By InXile Studios, InXile Entertainment. Of course, Brian Fargo does the whole thing with the big corporations again at the beginning, which is hilarious, with like the little kid. But I did want to bring up something else before I finish. And the last, I think it was either the last or the podcast before last, I told people that they really needed to go check out the Wild Man Kickstarter from Gas Powered Games.
That was the last episode, yeah.
Because it was very important.
And I featured that on the front page and everything. Mm-hmm.
It was very important. I mean, he was making a very a very heart to heart plea for assistance, and it wasn't working. It didn't work. They ended up closing down the Kickstarter.
Yep.
But that being said, rather than having to shut down the entire studio, Wargaming.net actually acquired Gas Power Games. So Gas Power Games was purchased by another company. So they still exist. as it stands right now, Chris Taylor is continuing to lead the company. I don't know how long that'll last. We don't know if he will actually stay there indefinitely from this point, but... in case you're wondering, Wargaming.net is the company that's best known for the free-to-play game World of Tanks. So, it's apparently, they're
World
a big
of
company.
Tanks is very popular.
Is it?
They're working on, World of, ships and, World of Planes. But yeah, World of Tanks, very, very popular, very fun.
Are they? I haven't played it. When it comes to online stuff, free-to-play stuff, I usually avoid it like the plague.
World of Tanks is really
Is it polished?
And it's, yeah. It is. It.
I've got enough on my plate right now. Someone gave me a copy of the new Tomb Raider game, and I've been playing that. And let me tell you, that game just keeps going. 9 hours, and I'm like 40% of the way through the game. It's like it doesn't end. They definitely give you your $60 worth.
You know how people love World of Warcraft like love.
Yeah, like
it,
would
World
slaughter
of
people
is
to
the
defend
same
it.
Way.
Oh god. But yeah, Wargaming.net purchased has announced that they acquired Gas Powered Games, and that was actually on February 14th. So it's been it's been so long. I mean, that literally happened like days after we recorded the podcast. They shut down the Wildman Kickstarter, and the company was sold.
Well, I think when we posted or when we recorded, they had a week left. Yeah, and they shut that down fairly quick, unfortunately.
Yeah, so I'm extremely happy to hear that Gas Powered Games is not going the way of THQ, who in the interim since we last spoke went belly up and sold off all of its franchises. And ceases to exist. THQ has been around since we were barely teenagers, 94, 95.
Yep.
So they're gone. So I'm glad to see the Gas Powered Games didn't go that way, and I'm glad to see that Chris Taylor is, capable of keeping as many of his people on his team, because, that's got to be tough to have to let go people that you're never going to see again, because they're going to be picked up by other studios real quick. And last but not least, I want to throw a big smurf you at Electronic Arts, because once again, you guys smurfed everything up with the new SimCity. What were you thinking? Always online DRM and having to save all your stuff on a server side? You guys can't make the point-to-point server system work for Battlefield 3. What in the smurf made you think you could make a server-side save system work? Everybody I've talked to that owns the game, on average, the saves get corrupted every 10 to 12 hours, and they lose everything that they did. You are the worst company ever, and you deserve to burn in the flames of hell for eternity. You and Activision, you both can burn in hell. You are what's wrong with gaming. Okay, I'm done bitching now. But yeah, stupid crap. Took a beloved franchise and just ruined it.
The Rant.
All right, so this is gaming related in the sense that
gaming is on the planet Earth.
Gaming is on the planet Earth, and we all have to live on the planet Earth.
It should be said together. That we are recording on March 8th, 2013. So
yes, now
just give you an idea of where we're at in the universe.
We realize that the planet Earth is important, and one thing I would like to say is, we don't have to save the environment or the planet Earth. We just have to save people. Because guess what? The Earth doesn't care about us. If we kill each other... Yeah,
it's pretty heartless that way.
The Earth will just shrug and say, well, there's always something else. Now, let me get to my point. Lately, North Korea has been even crazier. If you haven't been watching the news, listening to the news, you probably should be. Now, recently...
We'll go ahead and put the disclaimer on here that we're not a political podcast.
No.
But we are the hosts of our own podcast, so...
Right.
Yeah.
And occasionally something will pop up that just irritates me or I just need to talk about it. And, look, this is a country that cannot feed its own people. And I don't know...
North Korea.
Yeah. Now... I don't know. Maybe
the United States too, to an extent, but yeah. We'll get it. That's an entirely
story.
That's another podcast you have to listen to.
But they can't feed their own people. Their people, according to some rumors, whether they're true or not, seem to be resorting to cannibalism. Who knows? Anyway, North Korea's nuts. We know this. I'm speaking to the choir, but So, they, during a United Nations meeting, threatened the United States with a preemptive nuclear strike. They threatened to hit our capital, Washington, D.C. I'm not even sure that North Korea understands or knows where Washington D.C. is. They may have thought that maybe Washington State is Washington, D.C. I don't know. Now, the chances of North Korea having the actual technology to put a nuclear weapon where they want it is very slim. But you don't have to be that correct with your calculations or have even that good of technology to put it someplace that's going to kill a lot of innocent people. So... all I'm saying is the world doesn't care. We have to take care of ourselves. I mean all of us. And there is a very nutty group of people out there. And I'm not talking about the normal citizens of North Korea. I feel for them. But there's this very nutty group who has threatened the biggest country when it comes to nuclear
arsenal.
And I know that Russia has more. I know this. But guess what? America's nuts. And our military is the best in the world.
Jeremy is evidence of this as he is sporting, of course, the man beard that I think is growing in front of our eyes. He's like becoming more Ted Kaczynski-like. It's crazy.
I don't think
Bushy.
North Korea,
right,
in all of their insanity,
going, you know?
Understands how crazy we are as Americans.
I think, my honest opinion on this...
in our patriotism and our destructive power.
Yeah, we like blowing stuff up. We are Americans. I mean, that is like that's an American pastime. But no, I think North Korea knows exactly what it's doing, and I think what they're doing is they're threatening us with something, expecting us to come in and stomp them into the dust, because what we do in situations where we stomp a country into the dust is we go in, we rebuild their infrastructure, and we save their population from the terrors of what the current administration is doing to make things better and try to institute democracy, because apparently, you know, that's the best thing ever. But
unfortunately, with the insanity of their leaders, unless one of the generals is in true control, I'm talking true control.
Oh, yeah. They're going to try to nuke us.
I don't believe that that is actually... I think they're just that nuts.
Yeah. Well, the problem...
Out of all the nations...
Honestly,
they are terrorists.
Yeah. Honestly, as sad as it is to say... You know,
I think it was Carl Sagan who said, always trust a man with a beard.
So all I'm saying to all the gamers
honestly,
grow a beard.
If they do...
Be trusted, really. You
if
know?
They do actually do a preemptive first strike on us with a nuclear weapon, there won't be a North Korea left to have anything happen, because an immediate response of our systems is, when we identify where the nuclear missile comes from, that area gets blasted off the map with retaliatory nuclear weapons. They're not taking into consideration that our automated systems go, North Korea, nuked us.
Well,
what North Korea?
I hope that we shut those off, because we can do enough damage without nuking anybody.
Our conventional weapons can
causing
cause
radiation
damage
around the world. So for all of our gamers out there, just keep in mind
remember
that we are all in this together.
And China even said they were
there are
so
really
bat smurf crazy.
Insane,
I hope you stockpile Twinkies.
Insane people
what
out
Twinkies?
There. And
saying,
at
I hope you
any
stockpile
point,
Twinkies.
Twinkies.
Yeah.
These insane people may just decide that you should not exist. And that's really sad. It makes me sad. It just makes me sad. They just can't live and let live.
Hitting Washington, D.C. right now wouldn't be as bad as it could be, because we're in that sequester thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of the government employees are on furloughs and stuff, so they're not working.
I actually feel more worried about South Korea and Japan.
Yeah, because they're really close.
South Korea has robots. I think secretly South Korea has been building a robot army. It's a bunch of cyborgs, whatever, because it's South Korea.
We can hope.
They can do this. That, you know, once something happens, then it's Skynet pops up. And I'm like, thanks for kickstarting the apocalypse.
Now
Skynet exists. We're all going to die.
For a gaming thing.
Now, you know, the Japanese would kick in with their EDF, their Earth Defense Force, so.
North Korea.
Are you Sarakana?
North Korea makes a great villain for any modern day
games. Game or movie. I mean, Red Dawn was kind of...
Or any equivalent type of a game, you know.
I mean...
If you're making a villain, it's always fun to make one that's crazy and owns a country.
I mean, you've got terrorists, but then you also have this terrorist nation where all the normal people, you're like, oh my God, I feel sorry for them. But then you've got, like, the regime that you're like, this is like killing Nazis.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is.
Yeah, I think North Korea is working really hard at replacing the Nazis as the enemy of choice in video games.
They have a
games.
Long way to go, really.
Yeah.
Yes, but they do have a long ways to go. But still, it's like killing Nazis if you put them in your game.
Yeah. You don't feel bad
See,
about it.
See, I don't think it's quite there yet.
Not yet. It's miniature.
Nazis have, you know, a good 60 or 70 years of background of, you know, like, wow, I just, there's nothing wrong with punching a Nazi in the face.
It's like the Diet Coke of killing Nazis.
It's like the new Coke of killing Nazis.
Yeah.
New Coke
was bad.
Oh,
that's like saying it's the crystal Pepsi of killing Nazis.
It's like, it's Surge.
The Surge.
It's the crystal Pepsi of killing
Nazis. My whole point
is
just take care of each other out there, because there's a lot of crazies. Big one.
And unfortunately...
And always trust a man with a beard.
That's true.
And unfortunately, the craziest people
Unless
seem
he has
to be
a white
the ones
windowless
in charge.
Van. If he has a white windowless van, I wouldn't trust him.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
Unless it's me.
He's offering you candy.
Yeah.
Unless
it's Jeremy. Always trust Jeremy with a beard. Without a beard, don't
trust Jeremy.
He's anti-Jeremy. He's Jeremy from
Jeremy.
The mirror dimension. He's made of antimatter.
He's mega Jeremy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unless I tell you to trust me.
He tells you to trust you, and then, yeah.
Because then it's
there's,
fine.
There's that.
And get in the white van.
If you have any doubts, just ask his wife.
Yeah.
His wife will know. Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
Once my perfect world was gone, I knew you ruined everything in the nicest way.
The Rave.
Go ahead.
Okay. joke. I think after that heartfelt call for some normality, I'm going to go ahead and go into this one, and I need to preface this one. Normally, this show is very family friendly. It is very very good for all ages, and we'll come in and I'll do my best to smurf things out, pre-smurf our things out. Unfortunately, in this section, I can't do that because that would sort of defeat the whole purpose. And, well, you'll see. I just finished reading, or really listening, to a book. Okay, and I'll reiterate, if you don't want to hear foul, nasty language...
Oh, the bad words.
The bad words.
The bad words.
Grow up. Anyway, I'm talking about a book called Tough Shit. Life Advice from a Fat, Lazy Slob Who Did Good by Kevin Smith. Now, for those of you who don't know who Kevin Smith is, Kevin Smith is a film director. Yeah, get out from under a rock. This is the guy who directed Clerks, Small Rats, Chasing Amy, Dogma, numerous other films. I believe he's up to 10 now. His last film was Red State.
Which was supposed to be really good, but I haven't seen it.
Red State is good. He published this book called Tough Shit, Life Advice from a Fat, Lazy Slob Who Did Good. And in his own very colorful dialogue, you know, he talks about all aspects of bodily fluids and fucking and all that good stuff. He talks about what's happened to him, at least lately, that has him doing things sort of against the grain, doing things that he wants to do. The chief thing to take away from the book is basically surround yourself with why not people. Too many people out there are asking, you know, why should I do this? Why should I do that? Get people in your life that actually say, why not? You know, if you have something out there that that you've been wanting to do, if you've been wanting to write stories, if you've been wanting to record a song and wanting to make a movie, you know,
why not?
You know, why not? The sort of boils down to is if one of the big points of his book is if you have an aspiration, if you say, I want to be a musician, then be a musician. You know, don't sit there and want to be something; just do it. It's a very fun. It's a very good book, and Kevin Smith writes really well. This has very little to do with Dungeons and Dragons or any kind of gaming stuff. I think it's just a good read that people need to. I think people need to check out. He touches a bit on it. If you have Netflix or Amazon Prime or anything like that, you can check out Kevin Smith
Burn
in Hell. He touches on a lot of aspects of the stuff he touches on in the book. Now, there's a big section of the book, obviously, that deals with his dad's death and how that affected him and why that has sort of spurned him to go do things that he has been sort of wanting to do and get back to his roots. But then there's a section of the book that's just sort of mind-bending to read because it's about the making of Cop Out. Now, Cop Out was a movie he did for Warner Brothers starring Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan. And now I like Bruce Willis as much as the next guy. You know, Die Hard's a great movie. You know, I loved Looper last year, that sort of thing. But if you really want a very fascinating look into sort of this movie star mentality and sort of how Hollywood works, it's a good section of the book to read. Because I'll tell you, Cop Out is the only Kevin Smith movie, and it being a quote-unquote Kevin Smith movie is very loose because he didn't write it. He's just the director of it. Cop Out's the only Kevin Smith movie, quote unquote, that I actually couldn't sit through. I it was that bad. It's a terrible movie. But you know, all that, you know, being a movie critic aside type of thing, I think most movie critics, pretty much all movie critics, are kind of full of crap. So, we're in the uncensored portion of this because we're talking about a book called Tough Shit. All of them are full of crap, full of shit.
Well, I wouldn't say that. What I would say is it's like the old saying that everybody's always said. Opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got one, and
pretty
most
much
of them stink.
He puts it down here is there's no other business out there. There's no other occupation where you get paid to tell other people that they have failed in their art.
That's true.
That's what movie critics do.
That's true.
Movie critics will look at, you paint a picture, a critic will come up and go, that's crap, and this is why.
That's true.
But the thing is, most movie critics don't have a background in doing anything related to film. They just like movies. And so they really have, if they've never sat and they've never directed, they've never written a movie, they've never produced a movie, they've never acted in a movie, they have no basis of saying, this movie is a piece of shit because of this.
Right.
Which really sort of, you sit back and think and, of how Hollywood works and how things are based so much on the opening weekend and the broken Hollywood mentality of that, is that you spend $80 million on a movie, and then you spend another $80 million marketing, and you have $160 million to make up. And if your movie doesn't do well in 3 days, you're a failure.
Yeah. Even if it's a fun movie.
Even if it's a fun movie, and if you find it entertaining, if it finds its little audience. I mean, just look at Scott Pilgrim versus the World. You know, it's a $60 million film. It was a colossal failure and has been labeled as such. You know, it's a huge failure.
It's a fun movie.
But it's found its audience and it does what it does. Kevin Smith is by no means a successful filmmaker. I mean, his most his movie that has made the highest in the box office, I believe, was
Dogma?
It was Dogma, but I think Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back or Cop Out beat it out barely. Zack and Miri. Zack and Miri like beat Dogma out by about like $5 million or not even that, like $500,000. I don't remember. It's not that. It's not important ultimately. In the book, he goes from talking about his dad's death to talking about Red State and talking about Cop Out. Cop Out basically is a required sort of step to making it to Red State, and Red State he got a lot of flack for because of the way he did things, as he financed the movie privately and then distributed it himself. He goes over the financials of it, but ultimately what he's trying to get across to you through this book is, why not? I mean, you could just sum up the whole book with two words: why not? In the future, you're going to see some things coming from this show and coming from other projects that we have going on that really sort of revolve around that. And this book was was a really good read, really good listen. Check out the it being Kevin Smith. It's very heavily steeped in the podcast market because he's a big podcaster now.
His podcasts are funny too.
Yeah, I mean, check out Hollywood Babylon.
Smodcast.
The Smodcast is all right. I'm not a huge fan of the actual Smodcast show, but I do like. I love Hollywood Babylon, and that's BABBLE-ON. Fat Man on Batman is really good, and I like Plus One, which is him and his wife.
Did you see the Smodimations that they did from the Smodcast?
I haven't actually seen that yet, but
that
I will.
Is funny as hell.
But this book and this audiobook, I mean, the book's like $10. The audiobook's like $15 or $20. It's really not that big of a purchase. Not this big of a financial drain on you to get it. Is really coming at it from a point of view is, you know, when Clerks came out, I was 14 and he was about 22, 23. These movies and sort of Kevin Smith has sort of become sort of a voice of this generation of people, and it's very interesting, and he has this very fun way of sort of this scholarly way and this philosophical way of really talking to people and being very brutally honest about life and being brutally honest about himself. And I think it's an excellent book. It's an excellent listen because he reads it himself. And of course, when he reads it himself, he also ad-libs himself. So you're going to laugh, you're going to cry, you're going to have a good time. Possibly the most, the best thing about this book is at the very end, he actually gets his daughter. And I think his daughter was 12 years old at the time when they recorded the audio for it. Reads this report that she did on her dad for school, and it's just heartbreaking. It's a really interesting, really fun read. I highly recommend it. I guess I've got a kid on the way. I've married, you know, doing all that thing, doing that whole growing up thing, and this sort of really hit me in a very good spot, and really, you know, hit me in the proverbial hit me in the proverbial mental G spot, and I just it just spoke to me. So what I'm sort of getting through here is more of this this isn't so much a review as it is sort of a rave. Check out Tough Shit, Life Advice from a Fat Lazy Slob Who Did Good. Go check out the Smodcast and the Smodcast Network, and you know, take a listen. If you're into Batman at all, Fat Man on Batman is a lot of fun to listen to. He's had a lot of people on there, and I just finished listening to his talk with Warren Ellis, which was very fascinating. But he's had like Adam West on there and Paul Dini on numerous times, Bruce Timm, Kevin Conroy. I mean, he's a big fan of the Batman animated series and sort of what it did for comics. But I know it was all a bit scatterbrained, but go check out his book and check out his work. He's a good guy.
In a world where it's only available for download on GamersHavenPodcast.com.
As the fog rolls into the dirty, filth-filled backstreets of merry old London, a scream rings out in the night, echoing against the harsh brick walls. Another horror of the night has nearly claimed a victim, feeding upon the weak and defenseless. But before the meal is to be had, a shot rings out, a report against those who would prey upon the downtrodden. The Rippers have arrived to take back the night, and the night will not go down without a fight. A game centered around the action-packed Savage World setting, Rippers. Join Rippers and show the beasts of the night that humanity will not disappear into the darkness without a fight.
Wrapping up this show with some random encounters. I'm a bit disappointed in our fans. We got no new pins on our minion map. I mean, seriously, guys, you're letting me down. You're letting us down. Totally, totally letting us down.
Well, only the one fan can only put so many pins.
That's true. That's true. You just need to go, you know, put yourself through an IP filter and put in some new ones. We got some email, and then after going through the email, we're going to talk a bit about episode 100 coming up next time. So, first thing we got is it's really just a sort of a press relief from Chris Birch over at Modifius about Achtung Cthulhu. He's got a Kickstarter live for Achtung Cthulhu, which is the World War II setting for Call of Cthulhu. It's got about, as of today, it's got 24 hours to go. He's not at goal yet, but he's at, he's well past his goal, never mind. he needed 8,000 pounds, he's at 46,000 pounds right now.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
He's doing very good.
Congratulations, man, that rocks.
Yeah, and it's actually a pretty cool setting, it's got a cool video, but it's that World War II Cthulhu stuff. I mean, it's pretty neat.
Yeah,
I'll have a
can't be. It's got to be better than that horrible, god awful Android game they made. Well, Android iPad iPhone game. That was horrible.
It's called Android iPhone.
No, it's a Cthulhu game. It's called something of the Wasteland or something. It was atrocious. Mm-hmm. I bought it. It was like $10 or $12, and I was so excited. And it turns out to be like a very, very poor implementation of a 3D turn-based combat system with minor sanity effects. And I was like, no, this is not Call of Cthulhu. Why was I not informed that this was a turn-based shoot 'em up? I didn't buy this expecting XCOM with Elder Things. I bought this expecting an actual investigation. There is no investigation. It's shoot bad soldiers before they turn into monsters and cause your people to go insane and fall over. Because that was what they did. They'd go insane, they'd shoot randomly for a little bit, and then they'd fall over and you'd have to actually revive them, otherwise they died and you lost the mission.
Okay. All right, last little bit we got.
A simplification, but
and I know we get fan mail now and again, but it's very, very, very few and far between that we get fan mail with money.
We got fan mail with money?
Got an email from Calder Robertson, who sent us $10 via PayPal for fan appreciation.
Wow.
He said, I just finished listening to Deadlands Reloaded, Enough Room to Die. Listened pretty much straight through, and it took a while. I'm a huge fan of the characters John and Little Bear. John got better post-head wound and managed to keep his pants on, mostly. Great interplay between the whole party. Well done, everyone. Thanks for making my commute more fun. So I wanted to say a hearty $10 thank you to Calder Robertson out there for helping us out.
He's, yeah, thank you.
He's out in, I don't know where he's at.
What's the...
I don't know what AE.
Let's see, in Deadlands.
AE.
He's not even in the same country, is he?
He's in the United States.
$10 in Deadlands can buy a lot of bullets and a lot of liquor.
I don't know an AE in the United States. AE. There is no AE.
It's okay.
I'm scared now.
John appreciates
you. Don't exist.
Appreciates your $10 and will buy probably a hooker.
The zip code that's on there is from Spain.
No, he will totally buy a hooker.
So, all right. Yes, totally buy a gigolo while you're out in Spain. I don't know if he actually listens to the core show or anything like that, but I wanted to at least mention it. Say thanks to Calder. And
no, in Deadlands.
Glad you enjoyed Deadlands.
$10 would probably get him a hooker.
Yeah, $10 would get him a prostitute.
Oh, yeah.
$10 would totally get him alcohol and some bullets. Yeah. So, yeah.
$10 would get him a prostitute, a shot of whiskey, and a box of rounds.
Yeah.
Little Bear doesn't like hookers, so he doesn't get any.
No. Well, we are getting into the end here, and as you have noticed, this is our last episode in Double Digits.
Nope, just our last episode.
Just our last... No, this is not just our last episode.
Just our last episode.
Stop lying. All right, so I finally finished cleaning all the stuff downstairs for the 100th episode party.
No, we told them you were with a woman and told them if they didn't know what that was to Google it.
Yeah.
So.
Oh. So I don't have to keep lying.
So you don't have to keep lying.
You don't have to lie about that, but that will be your job tomorrow.
No, Minion, you are a man now.
Well, for episode 100, you will be a man.
At least for the duration of the double-digit episodes.
Oh. And then after that, we haven't decided.
Yes. We have a whole new system once we make it to triple digits. Anyway, speaking of triple digits, our next episode is
episode 100.
We've been doing this long enough to make it into triple digits.
That's how awesome we are.
See, at that point, we're just going to start the podcast over.
Yeah, we're going to do a reboot.
See, this is the end of the podcast. Yes. We're going to start back over at 100.
We're going to do a reboot. The next iteration is going to be full of lens flares. Just for Nathan.
Just to piss me off. Just
lens flares from here on out.
Will be replaced with younger, hipper guys.
That I'm okay with.
Enderman shrieks. We should just totally have the Enderman.
That's something I've been wanting to talk to you about, by the way.
You're not younger and hipper. You're just younger. Oh. Sorry, dude. Yeah, it just doesn't work that way. Anyway, what we're planning on doing in episode 100, actually, what we would like for you as our fans to do, if you're listening to this episode, we want you to record one of your favorite gaming stories and send it in to us. You can email it. You can, if you don't want to actually record anything, fine, email it in. We'll read it on the air. But what we're going to be doing is a compilation and going around to a lot of our friends and talking about us, sort of roundtable about really sort of a little bit of a retrospective about Gamer's Haven, but mostly we're going to be talking about gamer stories. We're going to be talking about some of our biggest memories, and which was one of the biggest impetus of us doing this show in general, was those conversations that we would sit around and have about how, you know, the Empire was actually a pretty good thing, and, you know, those damn rebels screwed everything up.
Yeah, they broke a system that was actually
functioning. How many workers?
And killed how many workers, and I would still, I think Jeremy is with me on this, it would still totally be fine with being carried around on a palanquin by Ewoks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, there's no problem.
Unless they're going to eat you.
Unless they're going to eat you. But if you have them completely under your control, it's all going to work fine.
It's all good.
So
you can do that with
to our wonderful listeners. Force. I mean, Sanjian, eighth pagan or ninth, if he's ninth pagan now. You know, record your a favorite gaming story. You know, 5-10 minutes. It doesn't much matter. Send it to us, and we're going to put it in the next show. You've got about 3 weeks to put it up. Actually, if you get it, you need to get it to us by March 30th, which is right now it's March 8th, and you get it to us by the end of we'll put it up here at the end of March 31st. So Get us a one of your favorite game stories. It can be, if you don't have one, you know, tell us about your favorite moment in listen to some of the Gamers Haven actual play or some of the Gamers Haven just regular episodes, that sort of thing.
If you ask, we'll do it in bad accents, too, when
yeah,
we read it off.
Yes. We might very well do that.
We'll do it in terrible British accents.
Or well, French. I do terrible British accents.
Or Indian accents, because Indian accents are really easy to do.
If you say so, you know. I can always do it as a Scottish.
Because if it's not Scottish, it's crap.
Yes, as we're at episode 100, we're completely changing the format of the show into all Scottish all the time.
And if you each send us $5...
Or we could do it as an Arabic
we'll do
accent.
The show without pants.
That's true, and it might take a picture.
Don't take a picture.
We'll take
no,
a picture...
No, I didn't say I'd take a picture of us without pants.
Yeah,
I would
but
take,
we'll take
I would
a
just
picture...
not have pants on and take a picture of something. And I would just swear that I took... That picture. Well,
I was just gonna say we'll take a picture of pants.
Yeah, we could. We could just take a picture of three pairs of pants. Be like, see, no
pantsless.
Pants. See, pantsless. Our pants are off. Done. I think this will work. Yeah.
Please don't send the money. They do horrible things to me. With never mind.
If you said
out of the closet again, that episode it'll be okay.
If you send more money, we'll do more horrible things.
His girlfriend makes tunnels like the Viet Cong. It's very strange.
Awesome. Unfortunately, they're very easy to collapse.
I know, but
it's
but
like
this just digs more.
Yeah. Like you walk and suddenly the floor just drops the foot. You're like, what the
but
heck?
Thanks for listening.
Not my problem. We made the floor out of gravel. Come on.
I didn't make the floor out of gravel. It was granite. I don't know what you guys did to it. It's not my fault.
It was Jeremy's fault.
Jeremy?
Yeah.
It was the
Jeep.
Beard. Jeremy's beard did it.
Yeah. Jeremy's beard. It's like Chuck Norris. It has
needed
its own black
the cobble
belt.
For something else.
But we want to thank you guys for listening over the course of 99 episodes, and we look forward to doing another 99 more.
We hope
I mean,
to see.
Obviously, episode 100 isn't going to be nearly as cool as episode 51.
We should
51.
Just start it at zero.
I still have the concept episode that we recorded 6.5 years
ago.
We should start it at zero and start recounting up. Just
yes.
We're just counting down. We just hit 100 and then do 99, 98, 97.
So,
and just
ladies and gentlemen out there, we'd really like to hear your gamer stories because we know they're full of allure.
Yes.
So, you need to send us your gaming stories before something terrible happens to Noah.
I mean, if you want to tell us about the time your character did awesome things, please do. Whatever you look back fondly and remember from around the gaming table.
This
you know,
is probably the one
hear.
Outlet that actually does want to hear that story.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
We will play. If you send it to us, we will play it, and we will mock you.
We will totally mock
endlessly.
You.
Endlessly.
I mean, it's what we do. We will mock you horribly. We will mock ourselves horribly.
Oh,
we,
God,
well,
yes.
We mock Nathan more, but we
well, yeah.
We
I'm
mock
an easy target. What can I say?
You are an easy target. I mean, you do have a slight beard.
This is about as good as it gets. It's
Nathan is trying to be rugged and manly. He's
no,
failing,
it, what it is my electric razor is dead and I'm out of razor blades,
that's
so
what
I can't
he says.
Shave.
I'm just lazy.
Noah and
yeah,
I.
Yeah, but Jeremy
are...
can like grow the mountain
Noah and I
man
are
beard.
Nice, you know, clean.
Noah wants his beard back, but his job won't let him have it.
So he has to keep it in a bag and then put it on.
Do you occasionally like rub it against
and go,
you?
I miss you, beard.
I miss you so much.
That or Jeremy's beard assimilated it.
It is now mine.
I mean, Jeremy, you got mutton chops there, man. I'm...
If I let it go too long, it will like
it totally is becomes
Jeremy's
a
one of those people
beard?
That can grow the awesome Viking beard, you know, that grows like a foot long that he can put into a ponytail and then carry axes around and stuff.
It goes like this.
You can
though.
Be Santa Claus.
It doesn't really go like this.
No, yours goes, down too.
Not very far though. It stops and then it gets all puffy. And
did
gets
you have
curly?
An awesome wild man beard?
I hate the curliness.
It could be worse. You could get like me, now, or you could be like my brother who can only grow a soul patch.
I could then go with the crazy homeless look.
But then you need to like grow your hair out.
Wait,
too,
whoa,
so
whoa, whoa,
direction.
Whoa. You mean you're not going with that look?
Not yet.
No,
okay.
Not yet.
Why not? I mean, we already went over this whole why not, but
why not?
Really? And your answer would be my wife.
My wife is why I need to go get razor blades. Because
cutting
like...
is not the answer.
It makes it everything feels so much better.
And this goes back.
Oh, just play
this
vampire.
Goes back to the pants.
I'm going back to my room and turning on the Depeche Mode.
This goes back to the pants conversation we had at the beginning.
We had a pants
with
conversation
your wife.
At the beginning?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Which was pretty funny, because taken out of context, people were going, pants, what, wife, what?
The sticky pants.
Whoa.
Conversation.
Oh, yes. For those of you who are suddenly thinking that we've stepped over the bounds of
we
good
did.
Taste.
We did it.
We did that years ago. But
we did that in episode one.
What happened was really? Is when we had dinner tonight, my wife grabbed a bottle of soda that she'd had
and
in the
car.
And
poured it all over herself.
No, she didn't. Jeremy's lying. Shut up, Jeremy.
It was like an Herbal Essences commercial, yeah. Just with soda.
Yeah. No, she,
but
she
went
to open
bed,
the bottle.
So it's not as
of,
funny.
The
she needs
soda,
to come back.
Who's,
okay, okay.
The brand shall
okay.
Be nameless.
Okay, silence, silence. If you want to hear more of stuff like that, you need to listen to episode 100 because that's what it's going to be like. So
yes.
Send in your stories. Tune in next time. Thanks for listening, guys. Been listening to the Gamers Haven podcast. Subscribe to the show by visiting our website at gamershavenpodcast.com, where you can also discuss all things gaming in our forum, drop us an email, or just peruse our episode archives.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.